Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music, great artist BT Dubs, but wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit amazon.com/prime to learn more.
Candace Lim.
And I'm Kate Lindsay, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And Kate, we have a very special person on the podcast today. Joining us is a journalist, a Tony Award-winning Broadway producer, and the co-host of Vibe Check. It's Zach Stafford. Hello, Zach.
Oh my God, hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Big fan. And I just love what we're talking about today, too. It's like all my favorite things all at once. Mm-hmm.
And now, is this our first, I have to imagine, Tony Award winner on the pod?
I think so.
Okay. We need to figure out whatever the version of EGOTing is, but we get them on, it's getting them on the podcast.
Right.
That's actually a good thing to do for a show. We haven't even done that on Vibe Check, where we're like checking off the awards.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Well, now we're in a race to do it.
Who can EGOT first in terms of guests?
Who can EGOT adjacent first? Yeah. But yeah, so we're so happy to have you here, and I am also very excited for today's topic. It's been super interesting, but because it's your first time on the show, we have to ask you the question we ask all first-time guests, which is, what was your first internet memory?
Oh, goodness. I think there are memories before this memory, but this is the one that's coming to mind so quickly. So we're going to go there. My neural pathways have built a line directly to this memory. And it is a memory of me being, I would say, 11. I was at my friend Steven's house. He was my best friend at the time. And he opened up this application on his computer called LimeWire. Mm. And LimeWire, for those that don't remember, was like Napster. Yes. The best modern day example of this would be, you know, what Venmo is to Cash App. Ooh. LimeWire was to Napster for me. And what he played for me, and I think I can say this on the show, he showed me porn for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
MP4, interesting.
So I was like, whoa, how do you have all this stuff? And what are we watching? And it was just like so overwhelming. Also, I knew I was gay at the time, and he was very straight. So I was like the confirmation was hitting quickly as he was showing me the content. I was like, yeah, not into this that much.
Okay, this is revealing how little I actually knew about LimeWire, because the problem with me as a child and a teen online is that I was so just scared of ever breaking a rule ever. Mm-hmm. And to me, LimeWire, I'm like, that's illegal. And so I was like, if I even enter the URL, the police will be at my door. I didn't realize there was a visual element to the content. In my brain, it was just for songs.
Yeah.
You could do videos and movies. You could do a lot of things across Napster and LimeWire. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's funny you say illegal activity, because simultaneously, I became obsessed after that moment with AOL chat rooms as like a very young person, 11, 12. And I started exploring all the gay chat rooms. And that's where I really found myself. And I had internet boyfriends or internet people, and just that whole thing, which also felt illegal, because one day I allowed someone to send me a photo or something across AOL chat, and it was a virus, and it shut down my family computer.
Oh my God. I think I've said this before on the podcast, but my mom had to fix my Dell computer from, she had to save it from many a virus over the years because I kept downloading outfits for my Sims from sketchy websites.
Well, we didn't know back then. We had no idea what would happen. And we were like the first guinea pigs for the virus.
It's like that I threw up meme, but it's like me with like my laptop. I'm like, I have a virus again. And it's from a Sims outfit.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I love the vulnerability we are already bringing to the pod, Zach. This is amazing. And I do have to say, the ICYMI team, we are listeners. We are big fans of Vibe Check, the wonderful podcast you co-host with Saeed Jones and Sam Sanders. In fact, I was just listening to your episode this week because it's about something super relevant to our conversation today.
It is.
Yes. So you and Sam did a segment about the Nottoway Plantation, which was one of the largest antebellum mansions in the South, specifically Louisiana. Last week, a fire ripped through the house and it burned. And according to TikToks and tweets that I saw, people sort of stood outside. They watched it burn. They recorded their reactions, more like celebrations in real time. Did you see those videos on your feed? What did you make of it?
I did. And it also began as like close friends of mine from childhood texting me. And I saw the text coming through and I was like, oh, what's my friend Vince texting me? Oh, I see it's a picture of a fire. What's this fire? And then finally, when I got off meetings, I was in so many Zooms, I opened it and I was elated. I loved the content. I love seeing the three Black women in front of it, live streaming it for their own fans. I love that you could watch a live stream of it burn down. I love how people immediately started capturing the flames and drawing the ancestors in there, like there were like ghosts inside the flames. It just became such like a chewy piece of culture for all of us to consume, and I personally was obsessed with it because I grew up on a plantation in the South.
Yes, this is gonna be relevant later in the episode, but especially now. Here's my question about this, because you know people were outside celebrating, and we should note that there were no injuries reported, so we can
no
laugh
one died.
All we want. But were people trying to put it out, or was it kind of like let it happen?
So that's such a good question, Kate. From my understanding, the pretty large firefighting team thought they put it out when it first broke out. They thought it was gone and they walked away and they were like, yes, girls, we did it. Let's go have a beer. But they didn't knock out every ember, and an ember took off and burned down more than they ever anticipated. And the whole thing is now gone.
Wait, that like gives me chills. I'm like, that was not a coincidence. That was
1,000%. That feels like it's the ancestors. Like they were like, oh, you thought you could take us down? Okay, right. We just need one ember. Which also, as someone that lives in Los Angeles, was a moment of PTSD from the fires.
Oh my God,
I was gonna say,
embers are the things that's why fires spread so fast in California, is the embers get into the attics of people's homes and ignite the whole home. So embers are very powerful things, which is a metaphor for life. Like it just takes a little spark to make a big fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zach, same. I'm also in LA. And I will say this was an interesting marker for me, where like when I saw the flames, my first instinct wasn't, is this the Palisades or Pasadena? My first instinct was like, nice. Continue. But this place also definitely was symbolic, especially for those locally, because this was owned by a wealthy sugar planter. It enslaved probably more than 155 people. The plantation itself is used for like, it's a resort event venue. There's weddings, graduations, school field trips, and yet their website makes no mention of enslaved former inhabitants on the site. I mean, I don't know. Do you think there's something symbolic in that? Because I find it really interesting how like your first instinct could be like, oh, this is so sad, something has burned. But I'm feeling it's more people being like, yes, it's burned.
Yeah. It feels karmic, and not to speak from like the local residents. I'm not from that part of Louisiana. It's in an area that's called Plantation Alley. There's a lot of famous plantations. I think the most that have been huddled in a single area in the American Southeast. And, you know, the residents, to your point, grew up in the shadow of this plantation and in the shadow of their own ancestors, potentially even being tied to that place in a very literal sense. Like there are descendants from that plantation living in that Louisiana area. And what we've seen over the past, I would say over a decade, but especially after George Floyd's murder in 2020, we've seen a reckoning with sites like this where there's been an attempt, because there are hundreds of plantations, like hundreds of them across America, and many of them have begun to put up plaques that at least acknowledge the histories that are there instead of trying to whitewash them in many ways. However, this plantation, Nottoway, chose to do the exact opposite. They ripped any historical understanding of it out of the context of that space. They made it a five-star resort. It's now like on every like list of like best places to get married, and they acted like it didn't happen, which I think was very painful for those who live there, you know, lived in the area. So as it burned, they're probably like, look, you deserve, because if Montecito, Thomas Jefferson's plantation, which is a huge site for American history, can at least acknowledge that Jefferson had a non-consensual relationship with a slave that was not his girlfriend, that was a slave that he was non-consensually in a relationship with, you know, this random plantation in Louisiana could at least acknowledge it, and they didn't. So now as it burns, the locals are like, okay, so you could have made changes and you didn't, and look what happened, is the vibe.
Yeah, and now I, you know, someone's selling like shirts to commemorate it, like it's Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass standing in front of the house. And also, I just had a moment where as you were talking, I finally understood a meme that I saw that I realized was related to this. It was you know that iconic image of a little girl like looking at the camera and smiling, but that someone had altered it to be a young black girl smiling, and now I believe is this plant. Because I remember seeing that and being like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't think this is for me to understand, and then I just as you were talking was like, wait, I know, I love it. That's so. Now I'm like, I need to go all the way back and laugh at it.
And you have to re-engage with the content. The other content that emerged kind of like seamlessly out of this moment was a bridge to last week's cycle, which was gingers or redheaded people being black people. So that was a buildup on TikTok. And then it had a new life as this happened, because some people on TikTok were saying, oh, this is the redheads are now saying for the ancestors, and they're now burning down plantations in our honor. And there's been memes of Annabelle, the doll from the horror movie, going around torching. So it's been this interesting moment of like, you have sinners still doing great globally in the box office. You have redheads having this reclamation moment of their own ancestry within popular culture. And then you have a plantation burn. And it just was too perfect for the internet not to just chew on. And it's been a great week of it.
Yeah. And I think this is a great starting point, because there is another piece of property with a controversial history we want to talk about on today's show. But first, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into the saga surrounding two influencers who bought a farm in Texas, posted their renovations on TikTok, and received backlash for not acknowledging that their new home may have been a former plantation.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians, these are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Summer is just around the corner, and the folks at Mint Mobile have a hot take. Getting a summer bod is out, and getting your savings bod is in. This spring and summer, it's time to get skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, you can have both without breaking a sweat or the bank. I love the quality of Mint Mobile's wireless service in comparison to my old provider, and I'm saving so much with Mint Mobile. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/ICYMI. That's mintmobile.com/ICYMI. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey, listeners. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We are thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesdays on Pope Leo becoming the Taylor Swift of Catholicism Online.
And we're back. And so, Candace and Zach, it is time for me to introduce you to Monet McMichael and Jalen Noble. But first, are either of you familiar with these names?
Yes, I am.
Talk about it.
Not sadly. I'm proud of this, in case they're listening. I'm proud of this. And I'll tell you why. Jalen, fine.
Thank you so much. One of the finest people
to come out of the Love Island universe. Mm-hmm. My goodness, that is a man.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad he cut his hair. I'm really glad he cut his hair.
His hair could look any type of way. The face, incredible. Right. Incredible. Right. Incredible. The dogs he owns, those two Doberman Pinschers, stunning. I love everything about his life. He used to live in Nashville. I'm from the Nashville area. I love him. I think he's also biracial, like me. So I have a lot of connection to him. And now his girlfriend, fiance, partner.
Girlfriend, I think.
Girlfriend. She not as familiar with beyond the fact that she and my sister share a name, Monet, which is very rare. It's a very rare name to have. So,
and it's a beautiful name. Let's say
it's
that.
It's a beautiful name. Uh-huh. So that's my connection. What about y'all? Did you know who they were before this?
Yeah, no, but I kind of only know them because I see a lot of Reddit snark about their relationship, questioning who likes who more, questioning high value, things like that. And like, genuinely, I think they look beautiful and I want to root for them, but any influencer I must question, of course.
Of course.
Well, yeah. So for those listening who are not familiar, I'll just run through it quickly. Monet McMichael is a 25-year-old beauty and lifestyle creator. She got her start on YouTube, and that is also where, 2 years ago, she hard launched her relationship with Jalen Noble. This is the first I heard that Jalen is, in fact, 32. And I see it now. Right, I do think, but it was news to me. And while he's a content creator now, his career, as we mentioned, started on season 2 of Love Island USA. He was a Casa Amor boy, which means he arrived around halfway through and he lasted about 10 days. I did not watch that. This was before I joined Love Island USA. I'm a UK loyalist.
Yeah.
But he's leveled up because, you know, Jalen and Monet, they've been together for 2 years. But as Candace alluded to, their relationship often comes under a lot of scrutiny because, to put it sort of plainly, people feel Jalen is kind of riding Monet's coattails, coasting off of her success. And he didn't help things when he went on the Don't Trip podcast. And he talked about how he didn't think men should be the only ones expected to pay for things in relationships.
Pay all the bills. Men are expected to pay for all the dates. Men are expected to pay for your nails, hair, all these things. In today's economy,
it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so the thought is, it's like, why is that the norm? Why is that the expectation? Uh-huh. What does a provider mean? Like,
here's the thing. I actually don't, you know, I'm not someone, people differ. I'm very like split the bill, but there is something about, there's something about saying it. I don't know, especially given all the sort of already the impression people had of their relationship to then be like, and I also don't pay.
I forgot that even happened because when it came across my timeline, I was like, this is why hot people shouldn't talk sometimes because it really ruins it.
Yeah.
And I listened. And to your point, yes, I agree. People should, if there's economic viability, to split everything and you agree, that's amazing. You're in a partnership. Sure. I live by the Brené Brown way of thinking of it, is that we all can't be 50-50 all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm 60 with life. Sometimes you're 30. We got to kind of, that's what partnership is coming together and finding where you fit. That's also equity. I don't need equality. I like equity between people. But to hear a man say it that way, which feels very like, ooh, play me a violin for yourself.
Yeah,
so I'm like, oh, things are so hard. I'm paying for my girl's nails. I have to do all the stuff. When you have been accused of riding the coattails of a woman, it's just, it lacks self-awareness, which the internet loves to remind people of when they forget that about themselves. So.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, no, I'm not paying because of my morals. Certainly not because I don't have any money of my own.
And then it kind of like also played into like the sprinkle movement, and like I was looking at the comments of that TikTok video, it's a lot of women jumping in kind of affirming what he's saying, and I'm like, all right, we need to cut the mics Also, cut the questions. Maybe stop asking questions. Let's start there.
Yeah, maybe don't let men, and I'm in this group, have podcasts.
Maybe take that away.
too many rights too fast. Men shouldn't have podcasts.
So that perception of him, that clip, people are kind of always primed to be mad at him or, you know, to not take him in good faith. And so when, at the end of last year, he bought a house in Texas. Also, by the way, this is a whole other thing we won't necessarily have time to get into, but just know that Jalen pretty consistently refers to this property as, quote, his house. But Monet often says, like, we or our house. And so just tuck that away. But so someone buys this house. We don't quite know who. It's from the 1800s. It has multiple structures on the property. And Jalen has been taking people along for the renovations and other updates. And on January 16th, he posted this video.
So when I bought my house, one of the main reasons was because it came with a guest house. This guest house was built in 1850, and today I want to give you a tour. And what makes it so unique is that it's got everything you possibly could need in it. It's that close to the main house, but this is the front door. You've got an entire first floor with a loft-style bedroom upstairs, but I'm going to go into the details.
And if you go into the comments, everyone is talking about the same thing. I read one comment that said, Jalen, based on the year it was made, I don't think it was the guest house, or something like guest house is an interesting choice of words, all the way to my favorite, Blake Lively would love this. Essentially, people are pointing out that a guest house on an 1800s property in the South is very likely to have been the home for enslaved people back when it was originally built. Now, Jalen and Monet are both Black, and Jalen basically laughs this off in the comments of that same video. He writes, these comments are killing me. I'm sure this house has a lot of history, which is like, yeah, it does. And let's go one step further, Jalen.
So he's kind of liking comments. He's responding a little bit, I don't know, not snarkily, but playfully to these messages. The discourse is happening in the comments, but not much really comes from it until April, when Monet makes her own video on the property.
My man built me an at-home gym.
Ah!
We're about to get our first pump in, okay? Today's glutes. We're so fucking back.
So the gym that Monet is using is a different structure than the guest house. There's like the gym, the guest house, and then the main house. But that video still gets the same kind of response, with people calling it, and I'm going to give this the respect it requires, plantation fitness, which is excellent.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I must jump in here. This is very, I just have to say, so much of real estate lately, and I've noticed this with shows like Selling Sunset, they're having to, in real time, realize the history of slavery in America through how we talk about homes even today. For instance, master bedrooms are called master bedrooms because of plantations. That's the history. So now if you watch these shows, you watch them now in 2025, they say primary bedroom. Yes. Like they have all these new words. Where Jalen really stepped in the wrong direction was when he begins this video by saying, welcome to this guest house that's right off the main house. A Black man walking into a house that looks like it's from pre-antebellum times and calling that the main house just immediately taps into everyone's psyche that this is a slave place or this is a plantation. So just from jump, he's using the language that is outdated in current real estate terms that is harkening back to slavery times, and now trying to make us forget this history by playing in his fantasy of look at my Black queen and my Black king and this beautiful house that really may be a plantation, is really just messy from jump.
And this is when the discourse breaks containment. There was a creator named Mecca. She is around 649,000 followers. She made a video that same day about the property's possible ties to slavery, specifically critiquing the way Jalen presented it to viewers.
You know what this reminds me of? Do you remember when Vanessa went and married that man and her daddy, that man who must not be named, but you know, Cosby Show, very iconic with a lot of life lessons. My mom always used the example. The reason we did not receive him the way that we could, because you decided to put this filet mignon, what did he say, a turkey dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner? And instead of putting it on a plate, you put it on a trash can. And I think that's the issue with like this being broadcasted. You brought it to the internet and it was put on a trash can, lid, you know what I'm saying? You didn't serve it up like, hey, like I think presentation really matters here.
Yeah, so in the initial guest house video, Jalen, like you said, uses that outdated language, doesn't acknowledge the history of the land, And in the comments, again, seems to be kind of joking with people about these potential roots in slavery. But after Mecca's video, more videos about this are made and the discourse really starts to spiral. So a few days later, Jalen makes this part two.
So I'm currently in my renovation era. I think it's been a lot of fun to renovate my current home gym, but now we're getting ready to renovate my guest house and I want to take you with me. And I've started the interior decorating process that I want to show you, but I also want to talk about what I plan to do with my guest house and the history behind it.
And for the history, I hired a genealogist and reached out to an architectural historian to tell me everything I need to know about this cabin. First, this was an early settler's cabin, which converted to a hunting lodge and now currently serves as my guest house. I also found out that someone with the last name Noble used to live here, which I thought was pretty cool. And with this house being built in 1850, I do want to acknowledge the fact that I feel an overwhelming sense of empowerment every time I see it. There are no ties to slavery on this property, but as a black man, I am able to own a house that 175 years ago, we were not able to.
So, kind of a mic drop there. Apparently no ties to slavery at all. It's a real tone shift from how he was in the comments. So, I don't know. So what is, but Zach, I can see you have a reaction to that.
I'm like, sorry, there was like bodily.
No, yeah, so I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so there's many things. Just that video hurt me more than the others. The others, I was like, whatever. But now that he's trying to like rationalize it and not hear himself, I'm really confused. So a few things. One, we shouldn't look to real estate, you know, formed in the 1800s as having no ties, quote unquote, to slavery, especially in Texas, which, you know, breaking news, that's where Juneteenth comes from due to the fact that like the information around Emancipation Proclamation took so long to get to Texas. Slaves didn't know they were free for years. So for him to even consider housing from around that time as being like not touched by slavery is wild. Two, names. He points out that someone lived there named Noble. Girl, Noble, that Noble that lived back there was a white man. You are a black man. Even within that, you can see that your skin is tethered to probably an English settler. You're saying it's a settler place, which is colonization. So an English man who maybe he didn't own slaves, but someone in his family owned slaves, because when Emancipation Proclamation happened, the reason why black people to this day have certain last names, mine is Stafford, his is Noble, showed you their relationship to their slave owners and their type of work that they did. If someone has a last name like Fisher, planter, butcher. These are jobs. So when people left, if I was Zach Butcher and I was a butcher, I became Zach Butcher because I was a slave and I had no humanity. So I had no last name. So I had to create a last name, which was my labor. So even in these moments where he's trying to rationalize that he's not tethered to the American history of slavery, he's proving through his own existence of standing there that he is directly tied to it just as much as that place is, in my opinion. And I'm not a genealogist. So that's just my hot take from that.
It's interesting because the reaction to this video was like, okay, case closed. Like, I hope everyone's ready to apologize to him. And so it's interesting that like you're pointing out like, wait, actually like doesn't really answer anything at all, because like part of the situation was that there wouldn't really be thorough records that people would care to keep about this. Like,
They would have been gone. And also, there's been so many attempts to reimagine historical sites, even by experts who don't want to talk about, you know, the reality of the situation. You know, I hinted at this at the beginning of the show, but I grew up on a plantation that became a gated community. It was very fancy. We were the only black family there. And so many people would only tell the story of that place, Fairview Plantation, as being a thoroughbred farm. They'd be like, the best horses in the area were raised here because the man, named, I think his name is John, who owned it, loved horses, and that's what he did. What they don't talk about is that John bought horses, similar to probably whoever created this settler colony or settler place. He got all his capital through his family's ownership of slaves and brought those slaves there to build the place. And then he did a career pivot. So we have to talk about the histories within the histories that lead to moments of owning real estate at that time. And I don't care how you slice it. You're in Texas, girl. That probably has some connection to the buying and selling of black peoples across the Americas. And that is the foundation to that site. Whether or not slaves were actually like shackled there, it has a connection. And I think I have an allergy in this moment to this fine man trying to distance himself from slavery when he could just embrace the history and say, wow, isn't this wild that I live on lands that my people in those past times would have never been allowed to own anything. And now I own something with my black wife and we're building a black family here together while acknowledging the histories that we arrive on. And he doesn't do that. And that's why people are mad at him. Mm-hmm. No offense, Jalen. You're still fine.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting and meaty because even though the narrative Jalen is pushing is like the house doesn't have any apparent ties to slavery that I know of. I think online, the crux of the conversation wasn't even really about this. It's kind of expanded beyond that. But before we get into that, I think we should take a break.
Let's take a break.
Let's do it. When we come back, we'll discuss who, if anyone, should own land with a traumatic past and how they can be respectful of that history.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today? Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices, and that's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies, so you can save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
Oh, I see why, my listeners. Do I have a scoop for you? So what is it, you ask? It's that Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Now, before anyone goes suggesting that this is just a rumor, know that there's actual proof that this kettle of tea is not only piping hot, but 100% true. So, yeah, sometimes it pays to be a little nosy, but it always pays to Discover. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report, learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. So one of the things I noticed about this story in particular is how the reactions have been different on different platforms. So on TikTok, you know, we mentioned that Jalen is liking, laughing, loving the comments, which is so like I was on Love Island coded, because the comments, they're like asking for critical thinking. And he's just liking and commenting back as if he didn't make the video himself. Like he has to answer the questions.
Yeah. And then you go to Reddit, where they kind of use these plantation allegations as an opportunity to once again question Monet and Jalen's relationship, because it's, you know, it comes back to, is it his house? Is it her house? Is it their house? So that dialogue is always ongoing over there.
Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, Jalen reposted the guest house video we played earlier. And the comments are positive. You know, they're applauding him for doing his research and addressing the allegations. And I'm just kind of fascinated by how different the engagement has been across three platforms, because I feel like TikTok has been very in the present of like, address this issue, address it now. And then, of course, like there are criticisms, there's backlash to the backlash on TikTok. But on my feed, it's very much getting drowned out by followers asking for Jalen and Monet to own up to it. And then on Reddit, they're definitely kind of like stuck in this past argument, poking holes in the relationship, very snark page vibes. I feel like Instagram seems to be the place where they're kind of trying to move forward, because I get the sense that this is not the last time we will see this house. This is Jalen's HGTV renovation, move the bus movement. There will be more content because an influencer's house is their workplace. I wanted to ask Zach, like between this Venn diagram I'm kind of putting down, like what's the conversation you think we should be having about this?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, I do think there, as a Black person from the South, you know, we still haven't had a very good conversation about reparations in a real way. You know, this, the country of the United States, the only place that's given reparations at any real level today is the city of Chicago, and it's due to police torture. And that happened in, I think, 2015. And it was due to the police literally systematically torturing Black people. And the city was like, if that happened to you, you now get like free college, you get some money, your kids get free college, and they actually deployed a full reparation system. But, you know, people like to joke that Black people were going to get reparations after slavery, that they were going to get their, you know, 1 acre and a mule, but that never happened. So, you know, we've been entangled in that lacking for many, many years, now centuries. So now as people are able to have the capital to maybe buy historic sites like Jalen did, because no matter how he slices it, it is still a historic site. Like there is history there, and he's not even talking about how he's going to like hold that history up and talk about it and own that and like use that as part of how he's building a future there. But we do need to have more conversations around like what actually happened in these sites, why we shouldn't forget them, what we're learning from them. And I said this on Vibe Check, you know, Germany has a really great system of doing this with all the built environment of honoring who has lost their lives due to systematic violence in that place. And we have examples right now. A friend of mine, his name is Robert Hartwell. He has a show on HBO. It's called Breaking New Ground. It's about him buying a plantation style house. And as a Black queer man, renovating it, and while he's renovating it, understanding the history and how his own Black body kind of is radical in that space, and no one's got given him pushback. Like, so there's a way in which you can buy property, not saying that, you know, Jalen needs to go have an HBO show now, but there's a way in which we should all acknowledge place and space and geography in these moments if you're gonna use it to make money. And I think that's at the end of the day why TikTok is so, I think, trying to hold his feet by the fire, is that like he's probably scaling and monetizing at huge levels by creating this content about a place that's all a lie and a fable, and he's not willing to tell the truth. So they're rightfully, you know, annoyed.
Yeah, and I feel like some defenders or people who are, you know, want to sort of move on in the discourse, they'll be like, well, you know, like a white person shouldn't own this, but it's like, that's like, it's of creating kind of this false binary of like it either has to go to a Black person or a white person, but rather what I'm getting from what you're saying, even if you are a Black person who purchases one of these properties, you still have a bit of a responsibility to it. Like, what do you think that ownership should look like? You mentioned, you know, what Germany does.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was a young person, I feel still young, but when I was much younger than I am now, I was in college and I got to meet the icon Angela Davis, and she said to me, you know, always live in the contradiction, because we, all of us on this show right now, were born into systems that we did not create ourselves. And thus, we do have a burden on our shoulders, depending on who you are, but you are not the original sin, as we talked about on Vibe Check. Like, you are not the creator of racism, the creator of plantations, but you must acknowledge that you sit within that history. And I think people who actively try to erase it, like our current administration is doing, is the roadmap of what not to do when you own a home that may be sitting within a complicated history, which is the nice way of putting it. So I think, like, sure, ownership is a complicated topic depending on who you are, where you're at, what you're buying, but telling the truth about what you own and what you're holding in your hands and not hiding it from the people around you is what's key with all of these types of properties. Because as Sam Sanders on the show says, all of America was a plantation at one point. Like, this whole country was. So if we're going to live by this idea that like no one can own anything that has any remnants of racism in it, then none of us would be in America. However, we all want to be in America for right now, and we want to build something here. So, you know, you just got to acknowledge those truths. So that's what I think ownership around these types of spaces looks like. It's honoring the past while looking to the future that will be hopefully a bit better than it was back then.
Mm-hmm. I like that you acknowledge how TikTok kind of amplified this story, especially because let's say Jalen had never made that part two video saying he talked to, you know, an archivist to get into all of this. I think at some point he would have filmed in that house so much people would be like, hey, why does this look like the house from Sinners? Like, hey, why is there a buffalo head on the wall of your house? Like, the questions would have come up. And so, do you think there is any way Jalen could have done this differently? Is there any move he could have done, even though the genie's out of the bottle now?
Oh, I mean, there's part of me that can be optimistic. That's like, yeah, there's an accurate way that he could have done this and like acknowledged the history and said, yeah, this looks like a slave house, but it isn't a slave house. But this is what it was. But it looks so familiar to everything else. And this is what I'm doing to like reclaim it and reimagine it. He could have begun that way. But I also know the internet was going to come for him no matter what, like truly no matter what. And how he's like, he's kind of poured gasoline on the fire by acting like he doesn't care. And then when he kind of cares by bringing in a genealogist, it's kind of bullshit. It doesn't really like solve any of the problems in front of him. And he lacks any awareness or any willingness to say, you know what, y'all are right. You're so right that I had this checked out. I did, you know, I did some unconscious consumption and just bought something because I was excited without actually engaging with the history. Now I'm doing better, et cetera. And I think TikTok would have calmed down. So I think like no matter what, he was going to deal with something, but he chose a path that had the most resistance and his lack of his inability to realize that he did it and then acknowledge it. It's just funny to me because at the end of the day, he's going to have the house. He's going to have his career. It's like nothing's like this man's not canceled. He's fine. He's going to keep moving. But between us, squirrel friends, the house looks like a plantation. Like, why didn't we talk about it? Why didn't we just say the obvious? Like, I look at that guest house and I thought, I wouldn't feel comfortable living in that thing personally. So that's just me.
And then the stuff he like mentions about the guest house, first off, he kind of seems like one of those really scammy real estate agents that's like trying to sell you an apartment in New York for $5,000. Oh, by the way, it's 100 square feet. He's like, there's an HVAC system. I'm like, Jalen. No,
he goes, this place has everything you need. And the first thing you list is espresso maker. It's like,
exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
Wild. Yeah. Wild. Yes, I want an espresso as my ancestors haunt me in this plantation. Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
You mentioned this is a good time to just get into because you do have a very kind of personal relationship with this very concept. Maybe talk a little bit about your upbringing in a different but similar situation.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Jalen and I think my father, even to this day, maybe not to this day, but my dad back in the day would have saw that video and said, yeah, amen. Isn't that wild that we were able to buy this? And my dad acknowledged that we moved on to a plantation. He took a lot of pride in it. This neighborhood, my dad was in real estate. And when they decided to develop this piece of land around a very famous plantation, my dad did everything in his power to buy land there because he thought it was a good, like, muscular move in our community. He grew up in this community. It's north of Nashville. And he was a poor kid from the area. And he wanted to show like, I too can do this. But he wanted to show that I too am not shackled by racism. Like I can surpass it. However, moving there, I felt a lot of racism. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of like being tailed by people who didn't think you live there. There was a lot of my sister worked at the country club on the property. And I know she had her own experiences there that were really complicated and messed up. Her name's Monet. And just the psychic ordeal of living on a plantation where I would drive through gates every day and I would see slave homes, like, and we would talk about them. And I would see white people going in there to clean their golf clubs. And, you know, it just felt off at all times. And you felt insane as a black person being there. As I like looked at my father, who was so proud that he was golfing on the lands of where his ancestors were enslaved. And my other family members were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are you guys here? And then it also just, you know, it only further allowed kids in my class to ignore slavery as a real thing, because due to how this plantation was positioned, and there were a few in my town, people got to romanticize this antebellum area. Like it was like Regency era, you know, England. Like these were like the royals of the area. They had all this amazingness and the slaves had homes. Like, look, they still have the homes, Zach. Like they had housing. And then when Martin Luther King Day would come around, people in my high school would celebrate Robert E. Lee Day instead, you know, and they romanticized that. They would say, well, he was a very brave soldier and he fought. And the North took us down. They took our economy and they tanked us. But then when everyone wanted to acknowledge that the thing that, you know, was foundational to why that house was built, to why our city was built, why there was infrastructure, was the buying and selling of black bodies through a diaspora around the world that were all Africans. And so until people acknowledged that, I was like, I don't want to talk about how beautiful this house is. Like, it's so insane. And it's insane that I live here and it makes no sense. And because I live here doesn't absolve you all from slavery. Like it was a weird catch-22. And that's what I feel sad about Jalen, where I'm like, your ownership of this today without acknowledging a past doesn't absolve these white people that are maybe your viewers, maybe the people supporting you. Like it only hurts all of us at the end of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah. And do you remember growing up, like who ended up buying the houses next to you? Like who ended up populating that community you grew up in?
Yes. Eventually a judge moved in that was black in the neighborhood and his family. And we were known through the entire county as like the two black families that lived there. And my family was interracial. So that was its own controversy. It's like, oh, this like mixed race family is living there. But no, we became famous for living there. And my dad was a very well-known person because he lived on the plantation and was in real estate. So it became like a tall tale and, you know, white kids that families couldn't afford there. It was one of the most expensive neighborhoods in my county, actually. It was the most expensive neighborhood. You know, resented us. And we dealt with a lot of racism around like, how dare they must feel like they're they're real uppity, they're this, they think they're so cool, they're so rich, but like people wanted to put us in our place. So I think there's a lot of fantasizing around it. And you know, I've talked about this on our show. My father did eventually go to prison for issues around the housing development. And he was the only person indicted out of all the guys, and all the other guys were white guys, and they never went to jail. So, you know, history repeats itself in new ways all the time.
Yeah, I think that is a takeaway that I really took from the episode you and Sam did, which is that going back all the way to the plantation burning we spoke about earlier, just because you burn the symbol, just because you like remove the symbol, it does not erase the history. And if you erase history, it is bound to repeat itself, which is just something so. It's a lesson that we never learn. And we as everyone. And so I kind of wanted to ask, like, coming back to the Jalen of it all, this controversy surrounding his home and the plantation allegations, do you think for some people this might make Jalen and Monet more compelling? Like, do you think it might make people want to invest more in their content because of this?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm sure there are, and those are people I'm probably not friends with. They're probably the like CMA watching crowd.
Right.
Yeah, no, I do think like there's certain people that are probably really empathetic to him. It's the crowd that like watches, you know, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which I also love. And that's my Venn diagram, because that's like a very MAGA loved show, but also like LA liberals love watching
it. Literally was watching it yesterday.
Yeah, it's the thing that will bring the country back together, is Mormons. Is these women. Mitt Romney tried in 2012, and Mormons are going to try again. But he'll find a new audience, but he's also probably lost an audience. And I think Black people are very suspicious of those of us that aren't down for all of us. You know, we have the saying, all us kinfolk aren't kinfolk. And I think in this moment, he probably is getting a lot of that hate from Black TikTok, where they're like, girl, you don't get it. You're not down with us. Like, you're not doing this for us. And that's the problem. So, but he'll live with that, I'm sure, all the way to the bank.
And he'll still be hot, you know, which is obviously most important.
He'll still be hot. Like, it's just...
You'll be liking the comments, obviously.
Yeah, yes, I will. And that's the other thing, we don't have to go down this path too far, but Jalen used to have a partner who was white. In fairness, my partner's white. I'm the product of a Black and white couple. I love mixed race families. However, when he got with Monet, I felt like I saw a lot of Black TikTok and Twitter be like, oh, our Black king is with a Black queen, and now they're going to be Black together. And then they buy a plantation. And that's why I think a lot of Black TikTok, even the creators that you've pulled for the show are huge on Black TikTok. And they're like, girl, what the fuck have you done? Like, we had so much hope in this relationship, and now you move to a plantation? We're trying to get off the plantation. And that's his greatest sin in all of this.
Yeah, and I feel like this is one of those things, you know, like, clearly I feel like he kind of thinks that video is like, put this controversy behind us, but like the internet never forgets. And also there's a little bit of it, like, the internet doesn't necessarily care what the truth is, in the sense that like, we've decided that's a plantation like house. And even, and you know, especially to your point, like the sort of what he, the history he unearthed is not really satisfactory in terms of disproving that. Do you think they'll be able to put that behind them, or is this gonna be like their reputation now a little bit?
I think it will be their reputation for a while, and they'll find new pathways to find new audiences and new monetization routes, because again, to quote my sister Sam Sanders, you know, he's just following what America's always done, which is reimagining the past. And we're in a deep moment of that, where we are shutting down museums, we're underfunding libraries, we're not letting books go to places that they should go, which are in kids' hands. So I think he's on the right side of history for now, and I think he'll survive it all. But I think on the long tail of it all, this will be something that haunts him for a long time, unless he shows meaningful changes or does something really amazing with the property. Like, you know, I could see him building some community basketball courts or a community farm. Actually, if he did a farm where they all like gave out the food for free for the community, I've met a lot of people doing that with their family's land in problematic places like this. He would need to do that. But I guess the problem or the issue here is that he needs to learn not to just care about himself and care about other people's through the resources he has. And until he does that, I think this will haunt him for a minute.
If it doesn't haunt him online, something's gonna haunt him IRL in that place.
That's right.
Something's gonna haunt him.
All right, that's our show. We want to thank Zach Stafford for joining us on today's episode. You can find him every week on his podcast, Vibe Check. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Vic Whitley-Berry, Candace Lim, and me, Kate Lindsay. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Hillary Fry is Slate's editor-in-chief. See you online.
And not at Plantation Fitness.
At the UPS Store, we understand the importance of a first impression. That's why we're here to help you put your best foot forward and be unstoppable with our printing services. With high-quality paper stock options, banners, business cards, venues, and more, we make sure your small business stands out and your message reaches the masses. After all, we're the one-stop prints that pop store. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today and get your print on.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, and I'm the host of Slow Burn, Watergate. Before I started working on this show, everything I knew about Watergate came from the movie All the President's Men. Do you remember how it ends? Woodward and Bernstein are sitting at their typewriters, clacking away. And then there's this rapid montage of newspaper stories about campaign aides and White House officials getting convicted of crimes, about audio tapes coming out that prove Nixon's involvement in the cover-up. The last story we see is Nixon resigns. It takes a little over a minute in the movie. In real life, it took about 2 years.
Five men were arrested early Saturday while trying to install eavesdropping equipment.
It's known as the Watergate incident.
What was it like to experience those 2 years in real time? What were people thinking and feeling as the break-in at Democratic Party headquarters went from a weird little caper to a constitutional crisis that brought down the president? The downfall of Richard Nixon was stranger, wilder, and more exciting than you can imagine. Over the course of 8 episodes, this show is going to capture what it was like to live through the greatest political scandal of the 20th century. With today's headlines once again full of corruption, collusion, and dirty tricks, it's time for another look at the gate that started it all. Subscribe to Slow Burn now, wherever you get your podcasts.